I hope you will agree with me. We've been blessed already significantly in God's Word, in our time around the table, in this gospel we've been singing. I hope your heart is encouraged and challenged as well, challenged in terms of your own faith and following of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd ask you to turn to Proverbs 26. I want to take a brief look at the first 12 verses here, along with some others in the book of Proverbs. It may feel like a bit of a sudden change of direction in terms of the focus of our service this morning. I hope it doesn't feel that way, but it probably will to some degree. But I want you to think with me, it's really one of the few topics in the Bible that I really feel qualified to communicate on. I want to talk to you, somebody's already read it, I want to talk to you about foolishness this morning. Let me try and tie it to the table, to what we've been celebrating in this way. We need to think carefully about the kind of people we are because of what Jesus has done for us. I think that's the connection we need to see. Before we look there, I just want to make one last commercial break, one last announcement. We had last year, you might remember, it was the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, Luther nailing his theses to the cross, to the door there in Wittenberg. And we had some little booklets provided by, I think, Les Saunders, called Why Do the Five Solas Matter Today? The five solas being Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, to the glory of God alone, truths that emerged out of, and really were recovered from the Scripture out of that period of time, vital and important gospel truths. Very helpful little booklet. We've got more available. There's a few at the back on the foyer. It is, again, the 501 anniversary. So I would encourage you to be refreshed in God's grace, in the Reformation, and in the truths that we cherish today that were recovered during that period of time. But now let me turn your attention to this theme of foolishness. I think maybe for some, I know for me, it does make me squirm a little bit when I read these passages from Proverbs. But let me read through and then we'll just share some, hopefully some helpful thoughts. Proverbs 26, verse 1. Like snow in summer or rain in harvest, honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the backs of fools. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Sending a message by the hands of a fool is like cutting off one's feet or drinking poison. Like the useless legs of one who is lame is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like tying a stone in a sling is the giving of honor to a fool. Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like an archer who wounds at random is one who hires a fool or any passerby. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them. In 1994, a movie came out called Forrest Gump. I don't know if you remember that movie or have seen that movie. I'm not advertising for the movie or recommending it in any way, but it's an interesting story. It is based on a book by Winston Groom. Some of you may remember, it's about a slow-witted man, but a man with a kind heart. He possesses something of a naive innocence. He lacks clearly what we might call, without being derogatory, normal intelligence, understanding how life works and how to respond and make choices and decisions. In older terminology, he would be called maybe a simpleton. And yet he leads a charmed life. The movie, this book, is about him retelling the story of his life before going to see the one person, the one friend, the one true love that he has experienced in his life. And he does live a charmed life. He ends up being rising to prominence, experiencing some of the seminal moments in history, and strangely so. So he and his mom, who runs a boarding house, have a stranger stop by. He's a truck driver. It turns out the truck driver is Elvis Presley before he's famous. And where does Elvis Presley learn to dance? Well, he learns to dance from Forrest Gump. who has is wearing leg braces because of a back problem, and his twitching and maneuvering inspires Elvis in his dancing. Again, it's a quirky movie like that. This young child who grows up into a man who, again, is naive and simple-minded in so many ways, has all of these strange connections. He ends up getting a scholarship to the University of Alabama because he can run fast. He has no idea what he's doing on the football field. They give him the ball and he runs, if you remember that scene, and he just keeps on running. He ends up being a hero in Vietnam, rescuing his entire group. Again, not because he's particularly courageous and in the fight, he seems to lack understanding of what's going on around him. He's just going to rescue his buddies and bring them out. And he does that with great energy and fervor. Again, it's a very interesting story. Heartwarming, but it's fiction. That is, this man who seems so simple and lacks so much understanding lives this charmed life and reaps so many rewards, financially and otherwise. I think when I watch that movie, I think this would be true of all of us, we don't identify with Forrest Gump, do we? We'd like to share in his good fortune, or we'd like to share in that, but we look at him and go, that's not me. I get it. I understand life. I understand how things work. I understand what life should look like, how to make good choices and decisions. I suspect that you and I tend to do the same when we come to the book of Proverbs and we look at these passages on fools. Come on, let's be honest. How many of you this morning, when I was reading through there, had other people in your mind as always reading that, right? Some of them are your family members, and they're sitting with you this morning, and I'm reading that, and you're going, oh, yeah, that's for them. How many of you read along with me and thought, this passage is about me? Well, we want to be careful how we handle these lessons on fools and foolishness from the book of Proverbs. But I think there are important lessons there for us as we consider what kind of people are we because of the grace work, the rescuing work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please remember, we've landed in Proverbs a couple of times this year as we've been reading our way through Scripture. We're coming near the end. I hope you're persevering through that. Whether you're keeping up completely, I hope you're doing the one-year reading plan. And through the year, we've been in the Old Testament trying to follow God's redemptive story and then picking up in the New Testament. Josh took us through Philemon last week. I wasn't here, but important, vital lessons on forgiveness that were shared from that important passage from the New Testament. And then along the way, we've been in the Psalms and the Proverbs. This will be the last time we visit the Proverbs this year as part of our reading plan. But I think it's an important consideration as the book of Proverbs shouts to us, calls to us, to understand and pursue wisdom, and to guard against sinful foolishness that will only bring destruction. I think it's helpful, I think it's important for us to see this theme in this book, even as we think about how Christ has rescued us from our sinful foolishness through his death on the cross. Proverbs has a lot to say about fools and foolishness, and it makes sense, because it is a book calling us to wisdom. And so it sets in contrast. It is possible, not possible, it is understood that we lack wisdom. We don't understand. We are more like Forrest Gump than we want to acknowledge in spiritual things. And so he shows us, he warns us here, God warns us in Proverbs about the problems of the fool and foolishness. Let me just unpack this in three parts, and I'm just going to touch on some other verses here for the moment in the first point. But again, I want you to think carefully about your perspective on these lessons. How do you fit into these lessons? First, I want you to see the portrait of a fool that is given us in the book of Proverbs. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to give you a snapshot. While there's this clearly a 12-verse section that's focused in on this issue, this isn't the first time it emerges in the book. Throughout, in fact, the book kind of builds to this moment where there's a portrait given, and then there are these warnings in chapter 26, verses 1 to 12. So in light of all that we've read about fools, if you've been reading through Proverbs, and we've just finished chapter 26 in our readings, in all of that, and all of the as we consider the portrait of the fool in the book, then it leads to the warning. So let's consider then the portrait of a fool. I wonder again, what comes to your mind when you think about a fool? That is, not specifically, although there may be specifics, but in general, what kind of person comes to mind? Is it a Forrest Gump, a court jester? I suspect, and be careful here, because we can slip into this mindset very easily, we use the word fool in the same derogatory way our culture does, and we just simply define fool as anyone who bothers me, disagrees with me, annoys me, is out of step with me. Ah, they're foolish people, right? The people who agree with me, who affirm me, who walk in step with me, whatever it is we're walking in step on, those are wise people, right? Because they're with me. Well, that would be a naive and foolish way, pardon the pun, to define a fool or foolishness. Now, I'll think about these verses for a moment. Let me read them through, and then I'll give you a summary. In Proverbs 10 and verse 8, actually, I'll give you three verses here, really reflects the fact that the fool doesn't listen, doesn't take instruction. So 10 verse 8, the wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. 12 verse 15, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Chapter 15 verse 5, a fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds corrections shows prudence. Again, the point being that a fool, and it is foolishness to resist instruction and guidance. A couple of verses on being presumptuous and impetuous and rash. 12 verse 23, the prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. Or 18 verse 2, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. I like the way, did you hear that? That's 18 verse 2. Fools find no pleasure in understanding. They don't want to be taught anything. They don't want to really understand anything. They just take great joy in their own, airing their own opinions, just spouting off, telling everybody what it is they think. Never listening, never learning, always speaking. Which is uniquely convicting for the guy who's speaking right now, but anyhow, I'll leave that. The problem, the issue of hatred and deceit, integrity issues in the fool. 10 and verse 18, whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Let me read that one again. That one meshes with a couple of verses in the New Testament from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5, Colossians 3. Whoever conceals hatred, that's the condition of the heart, with lying lips, that's deception, spreads slander is a fool. That is, there's a destructive reality that comes from it. Also in 19 verse 1, better the poor whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. The lips of the fool are perverse. There is in the fool a strange pleasure in sin. 10 verse 23, a fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, but a person of understanding delights in wisdom. It's an important parallel that emerges as you read through Proverbs and through Scripture, that foolishness is paralleled with, bound up with sin. Foolishness and sin go together. Wisdom and righteousness go together. So the fool takes delight in sin precisely because that's what it's. Foolishness is a moral category. It's not an intellectual. It's not measuring the capacity of the mind. There are many brilliant people in the world who are fools. They aren't fools because they're stupid. They're not stupid. They're fools. It's a moral category we're talking about, right? So foolishness is paralleled with sin, and the fool takes delight, pleasure in wicked schemes and sin. It is destructive and dangerous. That is, the life of a fool is destructive and dangerous, the outworkings of that life. Here, again, it doesn't only apply to women, but most of the Proverbs are identifying men as fools, so I was comforted that there was one for women. 14 verse 1, the wise woman builds her house by her own hands. The foolish one tears hers down. Again, it can apply to any one of us building a household. Foolishness with finances, spending money foolishly, selfishly. Foolishness with time. Foolishness in relationships and unfaithfulness. That foolishness, all of that foolishness, which is again parallel to sin, is destructive to the home. And pride, the fool is a strange mixture of folly and pride. A fool's mouth, this is 14 verse 3, a fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. And they're unrepentant, 14 verse 9, fools mock at making amends for sin. That's we see that everywhere in our society today, by the way, the mocking of making amends for sin. But goodwill is found among the upright. And anger, 14 verse 16, the wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. Well, that's just a sample. Arrogant and selfish, deceitful and manipulative, rash and impetuous, quick-tempered and mean-spirited, self-destructive and dangerous, that is, destructive of others, does not listen or take instruction or correction, is not interested in wisdom at all. That is, wisdom as it calls from God's word to the heart of human beings, the fool has no interest in those things. And that really brings us to the fundamental issue when you are looking for the portrait of the fool as presented in Proverbs. And it's found in Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A right response to God is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Do you see the contrast? The way of wisdom is to know and fear God, to be in right relationship with God. But fools despise wisdom. That is, they do not fear God. They do not heed His word. In the Bible and Proverbs specifically, a fool is fundamentally one who rejects God, does not reverence Him, does not honor Him, does not listen to Him, does not believe Him, does not obey Him. This is the fool of Proverbs. Fundamentally, they will not listen to God and His word. Now, if that portrait, if I'm understanding that correctly, as we take all of the data together in Proverbs, is correct, again, fool then and foolishness is not, again, an intellectual category, an academic category, it's a moral category. I say this with great care, but brothers and sisters in Christ, every human being, save for the Lord Jesus, is born into this world a fool. Because we are born into this world with this massive moral deficiency called sin, we are estranged from God, we are cut off from God, we have no fellowship with God, and we want nothing to do with God. That we are predisposed to live apart from God. We do not fear God as the Scriptures call us to. That is, to reverence, to worship, to honor, to submit to love, to fear God, to want to live life on His terms. Our sinful hearts don't want any of that. And that, by definition, is the fool described in the book of Proverbs. Now, let me nuance this portrait just slightly. Because we live in a world where those who are not Christians, who are still living in their sin and sinful foolishness, they can act wisely. They can actually follow some of the proverbial instruction, the wisdom instruction, in the book of Proverbs. Maybe it applies to financial management. Maybe it applies to relationships. That is, non-Christians, people who don't know God and love God and fear God, they may live faithfully in their marriage because they know there is more joy in that than in infidelity. They may have light enough to see that. So that while, I think Scriptures are clear, in sin we are fools, yes, fools can stumble upon some acts of wisdom, some ways of wisdom. In fact, I would argue they're just presuming upon God's grace. They're stealing out of God's storehouse in that sense. More importantly, let me nuance it this way. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we are fools saved by grace. Aren't you grateful? That in our sin we were fools, but He has come and rescued us. So we are no longer categorically fools. We are now children of the King. We've been rescued from darkness, brought into the kingdom of light. Rescued from foolishness, brought into the kingdom of wisdom. That's a great comfort. But this side of heaven, And you've proven it already today in your relationships and in your lives. We can still act like fools. And sadly, our foolishness, our sinful foolishness, can emerge in the most important relationships, in the most vital areas of life. So we need to be careful not simply to stand back and condemn all of the fools out there. We need to hold this up against our own hearts, our own lives. Because, I'll leave the portrait with you, because of the problem of the fool. The way of the fool, we're told in this book, leads to trouble and pain and ultimately to a ruined life. Again, just quickly a few verses. Chapter 1, verse 32. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Chapter 3, verse 35. The wise inherit honor, but fools get only shame. Chapter 16 and verse 22, prudence is a fountain of life to the prudent, but folly brings punishment to fools. 18 verse 6, the lips of fools bring them strife, and their mouths invite a beating. Chapter 14, 24, the wealth of the wise is their crown, but the folly of fools yields itself folly. The end is not good for those who live their life in foolishness, apart from God, and in their sin. It ends in destruction. Trouble, pain, and hardship that ultimately leaves them without hope beyond the grave. So again, I encourage you to remember fundamentally Christ in his death and resurrection has rescued us from that demise. It's not just that our foolishness was problematic, that it created, you know, bad scenarios, irritations for us in our life and relationship today. That's true, and he's rescued us from that effect, but ultimately he's rescued us from the darkness of the end, the devastation of the end, the judgment that comes at the end. Christ, do you understand? He's rescued you from that through his life, death, and resurrection. He's made it possible for you to look to the future and even your own, the day of your own dying, and not see it as a bad thing. There's a great song. I think it's Sovereign Grace Music has put out. It is not death to die. Speaking of the Christian. The day of our death, yes, it comes with tragedy and sorrow and sadness and grief and sorrow for all those left behind. But brothers and sisters in Christ, he has rescued us from the prospect of final judgment so that death itself is not the end for us, and it does not lead to a painful end. It leads straight into his presence and glory. But we need to be reminded, because we still can act like fools in this world, that in this day and age, we can create trouble for ourselves and for others if we do not walk in the way of righteousness and wisdom that he has laid out for us. Again, we must guard our hearts. Don't, again, just look at this passage or these passages in Proverbs and apply them outside of the believing community or outside of your life, but apply them to your own heart and life. Are you walking carefully in the way of wisdom in which Christ has rescued you and called you? And that leads me to, actually, just for a couple minutes, I'm now actually going to talk about the passage that I read for you a few moments ago. The last point is this, the proper response to the fool. Again, that's the summary that we're now getting into in verses 1 to 12 of Proverbs 26. If we're understanding this book properly, if I'm explaining it well to you this morning, I hope you will see that Proverbs does not give us permission to stand aloof, above, outside of those who suffer in their sinful foolishness and speak judgmentally or critically or even dismissively of them. Oh, the poor fools. No, it calls us to a different response. Let me give you three things from the verses I read for you earlier on. One, it calls us to be very careful and wise in our response to those around us who are still living as fools in their sin. It calls us to be careful and wise. In verse 1, it talks about, like snow in summer or rain in harvest, honor is not fitting for a fool. It's inappropriate. It doesn't fit. That's not what's supposed to happen. That to give honor to a fool, I think this is the point, is ultimately to honor foolishness. We see this all the time in our culture as well. I think of the all of the awards we love to give one another. whether it's movies, television, hockey, whatever, we give all of these awards, especially movies and television. They give awards for these different things they've done, and most of what they're producing, when you hold it up to the light of Scripture, is not worth honoring, right? And yet that's the thing that our society honors. So it's not just the honor going to fools, the honor, we are honoring the foolishness of the fools. He says you can't do that. We need to be wise and careful and discerning in terms of who it is we praise, who it is we honor. Let me just pick out, I'm only going to give you a couple here as time is quickly going away from us. Verses 4 and 5. I've mentioned these before. I don't know if you've ever noticed this when you're reading through. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Okay, good. Don't answer a fool. Just, you know, keep your distance. Keep your mouth shut. Don't engage them. Great. Got it. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Okay, Lord, which is it? Well, actually, that's the prayer you ought to have when you're responding to, dealing with those people around you who are not walking in accordance with God's word, not walking in fellowship with Christ, not walking in the wisdom of the word. How do I respond, whether it's a boss or an employee or a neighbor or a politician or whoever it might be, how do I respond? Sometimes issues will come up and a fool will be expressing their foolishness, and the right response is to distance ourselves, not to engage, not to participate, because the danger is we will end up just like them. We will not be positively influencing them. They will be negatively influencing us. And as the proverb says in verse 4, we will become just like them. Don't do that. To use a more modern colloquialism, don't take the bait. And fools love to throw the bait out there for you to take. Don't take the bait. So we need to know, we need to pray for discernment when it's time to keep our mouth shut, to go our way, to leave them in their foolishness. But then there are times where an answer must be given. A fool must be addressed in their folly, precisely because if we do not address them, they will think they are right. And there are fundamental issues in life, in family, in work, in community, in politics. There are fundamental issues in which we must stand up and go, no! Let me pick on one issue, one social issue. I think it fits. When our culture says that abortion is a healthy right for a woman to choose because her body is her own, we stand up, we rise up with God and His Word, and we say with love and grace and tenderness, I'm sorry, no, that is foolishness. To take another life, to say that your life is worth more than that life, I know there are scenarios where it's hard to untangle all of the knots. I know that. I'm not suggesting it's easy, but to prioritize one life over another life, just because this life is more than developed? Again, I could get into another sermon here. I want to be careful, but do you understand? That's a moment where as individuals in the workplace, in community, and in public, we must rise up and say no. It's a horrible and ugly sin. It is a blight on our culture. It is foolishness that leads to destruction. Again, we need to say it a little more nicely than I was just yelling at you there, but we need to communicate that clearly and powerfully and support those who are doing that, because there is a time when a fool must be spoken to. Otherwise, they will think they are right, and the destruction that follows will be devastating. All right, I have to leave that there. I would encourage you, take verses 1 to 12 and read through them and think about them in terms of how do I respond. But not just to those outside, but how do I apply those responses to my own heart? Maybe there is some reworking that will happen there. But let me just say two things and then I'll close. There's a warning here for us as well. Even as I think about rising up and speaking to the fool, taking the argument up, so to speak. Look at verse 12. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them. I believe that's a word of caution to us as believers. That we might think we are wise in our own eyes, and really we are still, in so many ways, stumbling fools. That is pride, arrogance, presumption. It can be a mark of my heart. And the warning here is, well, he's just devastated the position of a fool. He said, be careful. Those who are wise in their own eyes, I think that's by definition, the proud, the arrogant, the presumptuous. There's more hope for the fools I've just described than there is for the presumptuous. Boy, that's a strong word of warning for us, to carefully turn these passages back into our own hearts and ask ourselves, Lord, what needs to change in me? What foolishness needs to change in me before I go about pointing out the foolishness of others? But finally, and just to drive this point home, we must deal with the fool in the mirror. My first concern and your first concern ought to be, my first concern for me, I don't want to be a fool, nor do I want to live like a fool. I want to hear God's word, listen to God's word, believe God's word, trust God's word, obey God's word. I want to know what does it mean to fear God and thus know wisdom and life. Turn with me to Matthew 7, and I'll close with the words of Jesus. We'll give him the final say. Matthew 7. The end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is giving words of wisdom and instruction for those who would follow him into his kingdom of life. What does life look like for those who have entered the kingdom through faith in the crucified and risen Savior? And then at the end of his instruction, we read this little parable. You're familiar with it, but let me close with these words. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Let's pray. Father, I ask again, in your mercy and grace, that you will make us wise, that we will bow before, in reverence and awe, we will bow before you as our Savior and King, that you will help us to be wise and to listen carefully to your word. Help us to be wise and to live out that word. Help us to be wise and to trust you fully for all that we need, that we might be faithful servants for you today. Father, make us wise. Not only for our own good, Father, we pray this for our witness to the world, that they will see the power of your grace at work in us and be drawn to that one who is wisdom himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.